Now listen, before we get in the message, I was reminded of something. Next month is Mother's Day. And guys, if you think for a minute your wife doesn't expect something, you're not a parrot head. You're kind of like, cuckoo. So I'm going to make a suggestion to you, okay? I'm going to help you out. Find out what your wife's favorite flower is, okay? Get it. Make sure you got the right one. And then, I know what my wife says. My wife's favorite flower is self-rising. I told Joe it wouldn't work, but don't let this scare you. The Gospel of Jimmy Buffett. That's where we're going this morning. That's my clock. It's hung in my office for over 20 years, ever since I heard a song that Jimmy sang. So let me give you this disclaimer. Those of you at home who are on your computer about to write Joe and complain, and those that are on your phones here, just put it away. I understand Jimmy Buffett did not have a gospel. No one had a gospel but Jesus Christ, our Lord. I don't know what happened between God and Jimmy Buffett before he left this earth. I have no idea. And that's not the issue of this. I want to get your attention because we have been swayed by music. I looked up how many songs are about time. And the answer from Mr. Google was thousands upon thousands upon thousands. They write about it. We talk about it. And the problem is when we take something into our minds, if you hear it enough, you believe that to be true. And many times in public life, that's what happens to lies. If you tell a lie long enough, people will think it's true. Well, we are swayed by music, guys. We really are. This is a group like, you like Hymns, right? Okay. The Weeknd, they like Hers. So it all balances out, okay? But we're swayed by it. You know, one of these days I'm going to give you my message on the fallacies of gospel hymns, because there are a lot of gospel hymns that are written that are not really the gospel, and you don't realize that. They sound good, make your heart go pick-pack, but they're not the gospel. The only place that you get the gospel and you get the truth of the gospel is from the Word of God. That's it. It's the only place. But this passage this morning and the third chapter of Ecclesiastes is about time. Let's look at that passage. There is a time for everything, and there is a season for every activity. Would you agree to that? Okay. Let's go. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Time. Our study, Solomon. wisest man in the world. He's making observations. He's making observations. Perhaps he kept a journal during life. But these observations are coming when he's at an old age. He has gone through his allotted time. And while he's looking at wisdom, laughter, all of the other things that we have studied about and are going to study about, time is one of the issues he looked at it. And that, what we have just read, is his conclusions. Now, I looked up what is the definition of time. And I found this very, well, it's cool, all right? It is the continuous progression of existence. Isn't just the continuous process of existence that occurs in an apparently irreversible succession. I mean, that you can't go back in time, okay? We all wish we could, but you can't. And it talks about, in this definition, from the past to the present, but the fallacy of the definition is this. The next words are into the future. The past, the present, into the future. The truth about time, biblically, is this. We have the past. Nothing we can do about it, good, bad, or indifferent. That's the past. We have the present, in which is right now where we are. We're not guaranteed we'll finish the service. There is no guarantee in time that we have a future. We hope we do. The Bible tells us God knows the plans he has for us that includes a great future. But in reality, we're not guaranteed a future. C.S. Lewis said this, "Now there is a word that we talk about every day in one fashion or another. It is a constant reminder of life from the time we're born to the time we die. It plays out in our homes, our cars, our jobs, yet it is something that we cannot ever seem to get enough of." So, how do we use your time? Is it planned? Are the seconds being wasted away as the days go by? Have you ever thought about time? The psalmist says, number your days. For about 5 years, honestly, the only time I've ever been able to keep a journal is I numbered my days. I counted up the days until that day that I started, that I'd been alive, and every day I would add one. And I did that for 5 years. And at the end of 5 years, what happened was I had a journal full of numbers in reality. But I'll tell you one thing it did. In my morning meditations and prayer, I began to think about my days. And it's something that we don't seem to think about. It's something that doesn't really come to our mind scripturally. Most often, we have a romantic view of days. In 1959, a gentleman named Pete Seeger, I think we got a picture of him. There's Pete. 1959, he took this third chapter, the first 8 verses, and he wrote a number one hit that was recorded by the Byrds in 1965. And the name of the song was Turn, Turn, Turn. See, I know you're parrot heads, because you know that song. Ah, yeah, tell them on it. Truth always comes out. All right. He used that, and it was a popular hit. And it talked about turn, turn, turn. Turn from what? What you're doing, and understand this time. Well, there was a gentleman by the name of Jim Croce. I really love Jim Croce. Jim Croce had probably one of the greatest voices and minds of writing songs. And in 1972, he wrote and recorded a number one hit called If I Could Put Time in a bottle. And it was a great hit. I love that song. All week as I've been studying, I'm humming all of these songs that I'm listening to. The tragic part was, less than a year later in 1973, Jim Croce was killed in a plane crash. See, folks, you can't put time in a bottle. You have to use the time allotted when it is allotted. And then, old Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett sold millions of records, but did you realize he never had a number one hit? So you learn all kind of things on Tuesday. Tell your friend. I've got an abundance of junk information, and now I got some goods. Today's message is all about Jimmy. You see, when Katrina hit Louisiana, we all watched it and it tore it up, and Jimmy went there and he did a concert to raise money, raise millions of dollars for the city and the people of New Orleans. The story goes Jimmy went back a year later, and he found out in that last year nothing was going on. The people were living as they had a year ago. Nothing was going on. And so he did another concert, and he didn't write this song, but he sang this song to get somebody's attention, to get the people's attention, because the people of New Orleans were living in the past. And here's what he wrote, or here's what he sang. I bought a cheap watch from a crazy old man floating down canal. It doesn't use numbers or moving hands. It always says, now. Now, you may be thinking that I was sad, but this watch is never wrong. You got it, buddy?
April Fool's.
Y'all, do you have the words up here?
No, we can't stream the words.
You sing it. Here's my man. Y'all listen to this. You got the words?
I've got it.
All right.
Thanks for Mike and the team back there. Let's give them a hand. Mike Mills and Gene. So I'm going to do my best. I bought a cheap watch from a crazy man floating down canal. Doesn't use numbers or moving hands. It always just says now. Now you may be thinking that I was sad, but this watch is never wrong. And if I have trouble, the warranty said, breathe in, breathe out, move on. And it rains. It was nothing really new, and it blew. We've seen all that before, and it poured. The earth began to strain, pouring charred rain, leaking through the door. Tides at war. If a hurricane doesn't leave you dead, it will make you strong. Don't try to explain it, just nod your head. Breathe in, breathe out, move on. And it rains. Second floor. A According to my watch, the time is now. The past is dead and gone. Don't try to shake it, just nod your head. Breathe in, breathe out, move on. Don't try to shake it, just bow your head. Breathe in, breathe out, move on.
That's my partner. Did you pick up the words? Rained, done it before. Breathe in, breathe out, and move on. Now, only a Christian can have that kind of an attitude in peace. And at the end of the message, I have one point only. And I'm going to tell you why that's important. It's not only music that kind of gets us to have a false sense of what reality is, whether it be time or anything else. C.S. Lewis tells the story of Satan having a meeting with all of his demons. And he's saying, guys, the people that listen to us, we're losing them. More and more are following this guy's Jesus. How are we going to stop it? So one guy raises his hand and he says, tell them there's no heaven. Satan said, nah, it's not going to work. There's too much truth in Scripture. They talk about heaven in the Bible, and not only that, they talk about the opposite. In fact, Jesus, he said, talked more about hell than he did heaven. So that's not going to work. Another one raised his hand and said, he didn't listen to the former answer, and he said, well, just tell them there's no hell. And Satan said, didn't I tell you? Jesus talked about hell, so he knows it. There's one old wise guy slumped in the back, and he raised his hand. And he said, okay, Satan said, what do you think we ought to do? He said, we tell them that the message of Jesus is absolutely true. But there's no hurry. You got plenty of time. Satan said, that's exactly what we'll do. Because friends, in reality, we live like we have all of the time that we want to have. We tend to live our days thinking, oh, we'll say my day's coming. But in reality, in things that we need to handle, we don't really believe our day is coming. When we are convicted by the Spirit of God about sin in our life, we say, you know, I'll have to take care of that, right? Tomorrow morning in devotion, I'll take care of that. You'll get convicted by messages preached. The conviction of the Spirit is right now, just begin to pray. Pray with somebody. Ask God to strengthen you. You realize you've been on a wrong path. You've been kind of walking in the weeds too long. And you say, you know, I need to make a fresh commitment to Christ. Because right now, my commitment's a little bit stale. It doesn't just have that sense of urgency. It doesn't have the sense of freshness, a sense of adventure, a sense of love. I need to rededicate my life. And then that spirit within us says, yeah, you need to do that, but don't worry about it. You don't have to do that now. Some people know beyond everything they have built up in their life. Many times going to church, many times serving in church, being faithful, giving, going on mission trips, doing everything, but they absolutely know they have no relationship with Jesus Christ. Because you see, there's a group of people called joiners, and they want to be a part of a large group. And a church is a good place to go in, camouflage, and hide your life. You hear the word time after time, and yet you know there is no relationship between you and Christ. No guarantee of this heaven. And you think, I need to do something. But then that voice, yes, you do. There's no hurry. Don't worry about it. That's called procrastination. Procrastination is a self-defeating behavior pattern marked by short-term benefits and long-term costs. The Bible tells us we are to search our lives every day. As I've told you many times here, our call from God is not perfection. Our call from God is the call of God to walk before Him with clean hands and a pure heart. We're to walk blameless before God. When we sin, and we often do, and it happens, we immediately, it's like something nasty getting on your hands. You can't wait to wash that off. Because the problem is when you begin to sin and you don't have that urgency, or you have that urgency and you put it down and say, I will do it later, what happens is sin begins to pile up. Just like dirt and filth can pile up on your hands and you lose the feeling in your hand. And you actually walk around fooling yourself that everything else is okay with God. The message of time is now. Whatever it is in life, the answer is now. Now, folks, we should be the top people in doing that. Because we're the generation that right now, we have a house full of sticky notes. And when you go to the kitchen for a cup of coffee, you write on the sticky note, I'm going to the kitchen for coffee, and you take that with you so that when you get in the kitchen, you know why you're there. You want a cup of coffee. So we should get this. But we don't. We don't. We live as if we'll always exist. And the thing is this. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Oh, our sins are not going to be judged. We'll not stand before God because of our sins. Just a very simple question. What did you do with my son? How did you use the giftedness that I gave you? How did you use the wealth that I gave you? The health that I gave you. How did you use the opportunity of being born and raised in the United States where there is freedom? How did you use that? And the Bible tells us that that judgment may be a smoky judgment. It says that all of our works may wind up as wood, hay, and stubble. And when you put a match to them, poof, they're up in flame. The person is saved, but they got singed because of works. And the greatest sin we commit is procrastination. I'm going to sponsor that child. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to do this. And as soon as we move away from that thought, and life happens, we forget. Because we have an enemy, folks, that is against us. He's not just against us, he hates us. He's not a figment of our imagination. He doesn't care about you at all. He only wants to stab the Son of God again as he yanks his creation from him. I've told you what Croce said. If I could put time in a bottle, I'd spend it more time with you. Less than a year later, he's dead. Pete Seeger turned around the words and talked about in life, you turn. But what do you turn to? Jimmy Buffett probably had the best idea. A watch that always says, now. Now is the time. Satan is telling you, don't worry about it. You got plenty of time. So, what does the Word of God say about our life? Things that the Spirit of God is moving us to do. To have a clean hands and pure heart. To get rid of the guilt that we have. To live a life that is absolutely a celebration every day because we're walking with God. The Hebrew writer in chapter 3 had some things to say. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, right now, this second, not after lunch, now, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. Just hold on right there. Just keep it there. This is a referral to the children of Israel. Nearly 4 million Israelites left Egypt. They were going to the promised land. But yet, when they got to the door, their hearts were hardened. Do you remember what they said? They didn't just say there's giants in the land. That's a misquote. They said, we are like gnats to those giants. That's how they look at us. That wasn't how they looked. There was giants in the land. Caleb and Joshua said, yeah, we got giants in the land, but let's go get that land. But they rebelled for a different time, and God's Spirit said, fine. You'll wander in the desert till every one of this generation dies, and none of you will taste it. So, their hearts became hardened. They griped about everything, and they forgot all about the promises of God. All right? What else did the writer write about? See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. Hold it there. Did you know not believing God is a sin? If God says something in the Bible, if God gives you a promise and you don't believe it, that, folks, is sin. And it's a sin that the majority of people never, ever ask God to forgive. Oh, I said a bad word. Oh, I told a lie. This, that, and other. But yet when God says, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, poured out, pressed down, running over. It's like, nah, that didn't work for me. Disbelieving God at anything he said is a sin. It's an unbelieving heart that turns you away from the living God. All right? But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. All right, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. The beauty of the body of Christ is this. If you will begin to pray, if you have a hard time with your attitude, and there are people who have a hard time with their attitude, you can see it coming. When that door out there opens by itself, that door sees that attitude, just wanting to get out of your way. You need to prepare to come to this service. You need to say, Jesus, would you open my heart, open my mind, open my ears, that I may just soak in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Prepare yourself. And then when you see someone today that is struggling, someone that's having that hard time, they're going through that valley, then you begin to encourage them. It's a valley. It's not a box canyon. There's a way out. Let me walk with you. Because the beauty of the church, do we not only worship and praise God, we not only sit and hear the word of God to be strengthened ourselves, we are there to encourage each other that we're on a journey, and that journey has a lot shorter road than we think it does, and one day we're going to be with Jesus, and today nothing is going to harm us. Encourage so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin is a lie. If Satan speaks to you and says it's a sunny day, get rubber boots, a raincoat, and an umbrella, because he is the master of lies, and he doesn't tell the truth. Verse 15, what does that say in Hebrews? As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the rebellion. I'm going to give you some reasons that today is your day. There may be somebody here that doesn't have a relationship with the Lord, and you said, one of these days, I'm going to get right with God. Today, right now, is the day. There's some of you that have not followed in the first step of obedience to God. Believer's baptism. When is the time? Now, today. Whatever the Spirit of God, he's trying to move stuff out so he can move stuff in. Here's why you need to listen to him. Number one, God is sovereign, okay? God is sovereign. That point alone is enough. But let's move on. Not only that, God sets the standard. You remember the text? There's a time for this, a time for that. Who set the time? God did. There was no time until God created the heavens and the earth. He created the sun and the moon to control tides, which is controlled by seasons and tides. And it's God that began time, and it's God that will end time. Not only that, God sets time, and he sets time limits. God knows how long a certain thing will go on. Not only that, apart from God, means man's work is painfully inadequate. There are people that absolutely hate their jobs, no matter what it is. Your job should be a joy to you, because the scripture says, do everything as unto the Lord. Have you ever thought about your job, the things that you do, all of these things, you're doing them unto the Lord God first, and they have earthly results, and they bring earthly pleasure. Only God can give you a meaning to life. It's amazing the number of older people who hate life. They're embittered by life simply because they have been told, they have bought the lie, I got plenty of time, and one of these days I'm going to enjoy life. Only through Christ, God guarantees an eternity in his presence. There is no other guarantee. With Christ for heaven, in heaven for eternity. Without Christ, in hell with Satan, the one that fooled you to mock you for the rest of your life. Earthly pursuits are good in their proper place. As Solomon found out, they are unprofitable when the pursuit in life is the chief goal. Your chief goal is to go somewhere, and you get there, and you don't enjoy where you are because you thought the journey was it. And finally, God is sovereign. We start and we finish with that. Stuff is going to happen in life. We're coming up on hurricane season. You know what happens in that? People in Florida pray for hurricanes to hit North Carolina or South Carolina, or some of them going up to New York and wake those guys. You know, we're always praying for that hurricane. That's natural. But you know what? Understand something. When we dwell and live under the shelter in the hand of Almighty God, he's got us. He's got us. When life handles you something that is hard, and many of us we've discovered those things. Breathe in, breathe out, move on. God is sovereign. And if you have an issue, now's the time. Father, as we come to you today, Lord, thank you for the preciousness of your word. Thank you that your word trumps every other thing that man or Satan has had to say. So I pray today for open hearts, spirits, and obedience. I pray as we have folks up front that are waiting to pray with people. We have people in room 3 that will be glad to spend whatever time is necessary to really help you. Today is the day of decision. Come in Jesus' name. Amen.